Hello, everyone. I'm so glad we all made it here today. And thank you, Tristram, for hosting this webinar. It was very cool to share so many interests with you, especially the craft beer part. Today, we're going to talk about buyer personas. And that's some pretty exciting stuff. We only have about an hour, so I'll get right to it. I understand that the presentation, along with my speaker notes, will be available on the SEM Rush webinars page a bit later, so anybody who wants to take a longer look or explore the links I've provided can do so anytime. Additionally, I'm happy to field questions via Twitter at Kayak360. For those of you that haven't bumped into me on Google Plus or Facebook or LinkedIn, I'm Randy Milanovic, otherwise pronounced as Milanovic by my father. So if you want to score extra points, you try that. Okay, so anyway, I'm the CEO of Kayak Marketing and also the founder of Flow Sites. As a certified HubSpot partner agency since 2011 and Platinum in 2018, I'm going to lean on and share some of their material in today's presentation. Don't worry, we've got some in-house secrets to share as well, including a few from my recent book, The Art of Flow, which is available on Amazon. My team and I have had the pleasure of helping more than 550 organizations develop their buyer personas, improve their marketing results, and grow their companies. Yeah, I said marketing. After all, buyer personas are strongest when developed in collaboration with your sales, marketing, and operations teams. When everyone is aligned, it's definitely marketing. Buyer personas are semi-fictional representations of the people you want to do business with. And buyer personas are your secret key to driving real business growth. They help you to focus your efforts on qualified prospects, guide product and service development to suit the needs of your customers, and align efforts between your marketing and sales and operations teams. Regardless of what stage your company is in, you can create insightful buyer persona profiles that represent people you want to work with, along with their influencers. And that's kind of key. Content crafted to your buyer personas will help you to attract highly qualified visitors, leads, and customers. And it'll also filter out those less desirable, because the content just won't resonate with them. Okay, now best of all, these types of people are more likely to retain you over time, joyfully, because they're a better fit for your business. When creating your buyer personas, you'll want to consider a mix of both demographics and psychographics, especially psychographics. The more that you know about what excites, scares, annoys, or even angers them, the better. Because with that intel, you can craft your messaging to connect with prospects incredibly well. A quick side note here. You've probably also heard the term ideal client when talking about buyer personas. Buyer personas are profiles of key people who work at your ideal client companies. So buyer personas are people, ideal clients are companies. Before we dive into the buyer persona creation process, let's consider the impact that well-developed buyer personas can have on your business. Buyer personas help you to understand your customers and prospective customers much better. No hunches or gut feelings required. Personas are created from real information to represent a real person or persons, and they can be data-driven. Okay, this makes it easier for you to tailor your content, your messaging, your product development, and services to meet the needs of your specific audience without getting lost in the weeds of trying to please everyone. I'm going to share a quick stat here. Net Prospects, for example, optimizes its website based on their buyer personas to create a customized visitor experience, which, by the way, is something we should all do. Okay, the effort resulted in a 900% increase in visit duration. Okay, that's massive, massive. Okay, and it also resulted in an increase of 171% in marketing-generated revenue. So much more engagement, bigger dollars came out of it. You'll find this and a lot more about personas on the SEM Rush blog. There's a full blog post in there. Really good information there. Okay, so anyway, we're talking about the buyer personas. So the good news is personas aren't that difficult to create. It's all about how you obtain your market research and customer data, and then share and present that information with your team. Okay, some things to keep in mind is you may know that your target buyers are product managers, as an example, but do you know their specific needs and interests? What's the typical background of your ideal buyer? What's their life stage? What are their biggest concerns or secret desires? What are their fears? Honestly, can you see any commonalities between them? Because if you start to see them, you see the patterns, and you start to really understand who they are. All right, the strongest buyer personas are based on market research paired with insights that you can gather from real customers through surveys, interviews, net promoter scores, reviews, even informal chats with them. Depending on your business, you could have as few as one or two personas, or you could have several. Okay, if you're new to personas, I recommend starting with two. You can develop additional personas over time as needed. I personally like to develop personas in pairs because people don't often make decisions in a bubble. Okay, being aware of who influences your persona or your ideal buyer is very smart. And once you get a sense of their readership, you can work to create content that prompts engagement and dialogue and interest in your products and services as a result. I'm not talking about social media influencers here or famous people even, not celebrities. I'm talking about coworkers, spouses, and other close-in people they look up to and value the opinions of. Some people might understand that or have heard the term micro-influencer. There's always somebody that has a say that you're listening to. We really need to understand who that is. Okay, let's work to find that. All right, so and I also like to develop personas based on those individuals' roles. For example, let's imagine a person who is in an executive role. Their decision-making focus is going to be quite different. For example, they'll be thinking, does it result in market share or growth? From someone in middle management who may be thinking, will it achieve good results for the budget I've been assigned? Just as that manager's focus is going to differ from somebody in operations who may be thinking, is my workspace comfortable and do I love my job or my coworkers? Okay, three different levels, three different focuses. We should be aware of each. My colleague, Marty Tascona, is a sales coach out of Calgary, Canada. He refers to this as conversational fluency. It's a really killer concept, and I really want to make sure he gets credit for that. It's absolutely right. We change our conversation based on who we're talking to because we understand the role. We also understand if they're a decision maker or an influencer. And by the way, another word for influencer is researcher. You know, researchers inform our decision makers. So keep that in mind too. All right. So thus, understanding the role that your prospect is in is equally important to shaping the conversation you might have or might want to avoid with them. Consider also, in larger organizations, there may be multiple personas, even a buying committee full of decision makers, each with their own focus. I'm kind of curious, Tristan, have you ever seen someone in IT have the exact same priority as a colleague in finance? Ultimately, the more you know, the better. Okay, I have another stat for you. So this one is 93% of companies who exceed lead and revenue generation goals segment their database by buyer persona. Okay, it's key. An important stat, this is an important stat from the article, Five Reasons Why Your Buyer Personas Aren't Good Enough by Marketing Insider. Segmentation really is a fantastic way to organize your lead data. Segmentation allows you also to tailor your marketing to a portion of your contacts, making it more effective and also eliminating mass communications. You focus that a little bit and you get much better results from the effort. Okay, time to get to the good stuff. I'm going to give you a whole bunch of ways to gather information and decide what to put into your buyer persona. So one of my very favorites is to is an interview or research based on Dan Kennedy's Ultimate Sales Letter, which is a book, very famous. My friend Joel Kletke recently reminded me of these four questions in particular. The first of the four is, ask them what keeps them up at night, eyes staring up at the ceiling. If these concerns keep them awake, can you imagine how a promise to solve them might just shake them by the collar and cause them to act? The second question is to ask them what they're afraid of. You know, fear is a powerful motivator. We'll do almost anything to distract ourselves from it or make it go away, including buying. Okay. We also want to ask them what they're angry at, or what they are angry about, or who they're angry at. Okay. Common enemies, identify them. Is it the government? Is it the weather? Is it regulation? What exactly is consistent or common between our members of our audience? Okay. And the fourth one would be to really learn what their top three daily frustrations are. The things that frustrate them are problems that they'd like to get rid of or pay to get rid of. Think of these in the context of your solution, your services, your products. All right, so that's the four questions that Joel reminded me about. All right, so I'm going to go on to the second action item is to look through our existing data. Our existing CRM, meaning our existing customers, use tools like SEMrush, the market analysis tools. Look at Google Analytics, HubSpot Analytics, anything like that that gives us trends around how our best leads or customers find and consume our content. You know, there's a tip we can, or strategy we can, or technique I would say, we can borrow from the medical research industry, and it's a meta-analysis. I would encourage you to check out methods of looking at meta-analysis. And also there's a blog post on my site at kayakmarketing.com that talks about this. So go ahead and take a look. It's only four or five articles back from the beginning. It should give you some insights. All right, so the third one would be to use form fields that capture important persona information. For example, if you believe your ideal buyers have a common challenge, ask them a qualifying question around their biggest challenge at the top of your contact form or even on a download. Okay, then watch for patterns in how they respond. You could preload those options, so to speak, and I kind of like the idea of preloading them because then you can segment by those challenges later rather than having a form field or just a blank field, which would mean that every single one would be different, so you can't really segment by that. Okay, and basically watch for patterns. And then as you see the patterns emerge, then add to your buyer persona and refine and update and keep it going. And that's something that we should do over time anyway. We should always be on top of it, making sure we know what's going on. All right, I'd like you to consider what other questions might be relevant to ask, you know, related to your business. Their answers can provide you with wonderful segmentation data. You know, in our business, we do the best when we work with a company that has between one and three full-time marketing people on staff. If they have less, like for example, a reception does a part-time marketing, part-time reception, you've probably seen that a few times, they just don't have, probably don't have the budget to work with a firm and do it properly. So it might be just a lack of resources in that scenario. And on the flip side, if they have more than three or four, what happens is companies, as they grow, they do start to segment or silo their professionals. So sales is doing one thing, an individual in marketing is just doing email, another individual in marketing is just doing analytics or reporting, and there's not as good a connection between them, so we can't be as effective. So one of the questions that I might ask is, how many full-time marketers do you have on staff? Okay, that's a qualifier and a disqualifier. All right, so I'm going to go on to the next one. All right, so consider your sales team's feedback on the leads they're interacting with most. What insights can they share with you to help you understand the different types of customers your company has attracted to date and which ones they prefer, of course? You know, if you're talking to sales, they're probably going to prefer the ones that they get the biggest commissions off of. But the idea is that there's a good chance they also are thinking about who they're working with. All right. All right, so I'm going to go on the next one here. We have interview customers. Well, that's the easiest one of all, okay? And prospects, too, to discover what they like or dislike about your product, service, process, or even your industry. Explore personality assessment tools such as DISC or Crystal Nose. That Crystal Nose is powerful. It's a little bit creepy, but I would say in a good way because it really gets us, gives us an idea of how to work with people. You can imagine if you get somebody who's just the facts jack, you know, the grumpy Gus. You pick up the phone, you call, and it says, "What do you want?" or "What are you calling me?" Well, really, what it tells us is we use a tool like Crystal Nose, or understand their DISC profile, and what happens is we realize they're just get to the point type people. So it's not that they're being rude; it's just they just don't want to waste any time. You know, so you saying, "Hi, how are you doing? How's the weather?" That's actually annoying to them. So that'll get them to hang up pretty fast. So if you're aware of this, you can imagine just that's in a phone call situation, but you can imagine applying that against your personas and understanding your persona to that degree. That really gives you some insight on how to work with somebody and goes back to Marty Tascona's conversational fluency. All right, so essentially in the end is dig, and dig some more. In practice, you should be able to visualize your persona clearly when writing and reading your content. Okay, which reminds me, since we have just a couple of minutes left here, way back in the 90s, you know, before computers, or actually I think we had a little Mac SE with a, you know, a little floppy disk. I think it was a hard floppy disk. One. We got almost two floppy disks a little bit after that. But okay, we used to make cardboard cutouts of our ideal clients to remind us who we were developing our creative for. It worked amazingly well. Okay, it's funny. It's funny and not so funny at the same time. It's just don't make one of yourself. Meaning your persona is not you. Your persona is who you're writing and crafting your content to. You really have to get into their shoes, not into your shoes. All right. So start really. I would say that the next step is just to collect a few demographics like age, sex, income, etc., but spend some time digging into the psychographics, their fears, their desires, their values, their influences, their needs, their personality type. All these things are so important, and layer on any insights you discover around motivations. Why are they doing that? Is there a trigger event? What's going on? Okay, include wording around their biggest challenge and their primary goal, because that's what they're going to be focused on the most. Okay, reminder once again that buyer personas are different from ideal clients. Buyers are people, ideal clients are the businesses or organizations that they work at. All right, so SEMrush's marketing tool, which is about to be demoed by Tristan, is one tool that we use. I'm going to give you a list of a whole bunch. SurveyMonkey we would use, Make My Persona tool by HubSpot, Dan Kennedy's Ultimate Sales Letter book, please get it. My own book, The Art of Flow, it talks through it as well and it shows you how to apply this thinking to a website, as well as an article I penned recently that talks about the 12 questions your prospects are asking, whether they know it or not. You know, the mind works as the mind works. The more we understand how the mind works, the better we're going to write our content and craft our content. And of course, on that SEMrush's buyer persona blog article, there's a buyer persona template which you can download just at the click of a button. Okay, obviously in addition to those noted here, there's a vast range of tools, books, downloads, and blog posts all out there waiting for you to discover around persona creation. I encourage you to Google and find out whichever ones work for you. And on that note, thank you for having me here today. I'm happy to stick around and take questions after Tristan completes the demo. Thanks a lot, guys. Bye-bye now.